Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and turn to the book of Jonah. And in the evening services, we've been going through the book of Jonah. We're in Jonah chapter 1. After 3 nights, we'll jump into chapter 2 tonight. And I want to get right into the preaching. I do want to just say I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and it is a honor for me to be preaching at Camp Glory. And I know tonight that we have the Wednesday night church crowd here with us, and so we're blessed to have you. And I want to just say I appreciate this ministry, and appreciate the church, and appreciate Pastor Carter and the many years that he has been pastoring. And no doubt he's had an impact upon my family. My father was on staff here many years ago, and my grandfather and grandmother were involved in the church, and were a deacon in the church here, and I got saved as a young boy over in the building on a Sunday night, and Brother Carter was preaching, came to the altar, and my grandfather came and led me to the Lord. So I thank God for that work of God in my heart that continues now, even into this day, and I'm thankful for that work here, and so I praise the Lord for that. Just want to say it's an honor to be here preaching, and thank you, Brother Carter, for your faithfulness, and Brother Matt, thank you for asking me, and it's great just to be on property and just to reminisce, and I appreciate talking to Brother Carter. I'm 45, he's just a little bit older than I am, and I'm amazed at his memory. I mean, he's been telling me, well, I remember when this happened and this story here, and I just love hearing the stories from Brother Carter, and it's just great to hear some of the history. Tomorrow night, after the service, I'm going down to the college, and I'm going to try to search for Al Capone's treasure, because he told me it was down there, so I'm going to do my best to try to find that. But I've enjoyed the conversations, and it's always a great blessing to be back on property. Jonah chapter 1, if you're there, stand with me, and we're going to read the last verse, verse 17, and then we'll drop into chapter 2, and I'm going to read all of chapter 2. I think it's an important chapter. The Bible says this, Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compass me about, all thy billows and thy waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, I'm just going to say this. I'm not done reading, but I'm just going to say this for emphasis. When we get verses 1 through 9 right, God always gets verse 10 right. Let me say that one more time. When we get verses 1 through 9 right in our life, God always gets verse 10 right. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Father, I just pray tonight that you might bring your spirit upon this building, that you might anoint the hearers in here and the preacher in here. Father, I pray that you would help me to understand my weakness, but God, we thank you for your ability to speak and to deal with hearts. And I pray, God, that your word would come alive and that it would be effectual in our hearts and lives, and that you would bless and speak and bring conviction and teach us, dear God, how that we might truly have deliverance in our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are several things that God has done in the book of Jonah. We would find in the very beginning of this book, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And God had prepared a word for Jonah. God had come to him with a message of grace that he might be a man of grace. But we find that Jonah, although the word of God came to him, that Jonah had decided and made his choice to run from the Lord. And in his mind, he believed and deceived himself that he could run from the very presence of the Lord. You'll find here in this passage, though, that no matter what Jonah did, no matter how far Jonah would run, that God would never stop dealing with him. And we find here that God continues to deal with Jonah. And I want to just remind all of the young people last night that God is not limited to speaking to your life between the hours of 11 and 12 on Sunday. That God is the Almighty God, and He can speak to you through the Word of God. But if you fail to listen to the Word of God, I promise you, He is able to speak to you through your circumstances. The Bible would tell us that God would prepare His Word, and then the Bible would say that He would prepare a great storm, a wind, a vehement wind, a raging sea that would rot against them and would be tempestuous against them. And we would find here that these soldiers would have revival. And you remember last night, the shipmaster and his cry to Jonah in verse 6, when he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God." But I want you to understand something, that this backslidden Christian was so far from God and such in a spiritual sleep mode that even though he heard these words, he would not call upon God. He would not turn to God. And in this violent storm where the ship was likened to be broken, where God was literally shaking his boat, his only answer was this. It was no repentance. There was no remorse. There was no reconciliation. There was no, I'm sorry to these men whose lives were now in jeopardy because of his sin. His only solution was a coward solution. It was throw me overboard. So they picked him up and they understood that there would be no peace and there would be no progress as long as there was sin in the boat. And they dealt with sin the only way that they knew how to deal with sin. And by the way, I want to say something. Anytime that a church or a group of people or a mom and dad have to deal with sin corporately, it is not fun. But they realized there would be no peace and no progress until they had dealt with the sin and they got rid of Jonah and threw him overboard and there was a calm. But I want you to notice that God is always working. And the Bible would say this in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great, what does it say in verse 17? The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God had prepared a storm. God had prepared a fish. But God was now preparing Jonah. God would continue his work. God would continue to bring upon him. And we might look at the fish and we may not call that the grace of God. But I want to tell you something. The fish was the better than Jonah's alternative. And we find here that God had given him better than he deserved. And I just want to say this to every mom and every dad and every parent and every youth pastor that's praying. I want you to catch this. Sometimes we can see God working on the boats. Sometimes we can see God working through the storm.
But when Jonah was swallowed by the fish, no one saw God working except God and Jonah. Sometimes God works below the scene. Sometimes God works in the deep, in the midst of the night. Oftentimes we look at a young person and it seems like as they walk in their braggadocious way and they've got their sin and they've got their lifestyle, and we might think, well, they escaped the storm and it just seems like there's no consequences in their life, and it just seems like God's done with them and it seems like God's not working anymore. I want to remind you tonight, and I want you to listen to me tonight, God is always working. Say, Brother Nance, I can't see it. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean He's not working. And I want you to understand something, that below the surface, when the sailors thought, that's it, when everybody thought, it's over, when they all thought that the end was there, and God's no longer working, and there's no more hope for Jonah, and there's no more grace for Jonah, and there's no more mercy for Jonah, God had prepared a great fish. And God was still in the business of trying to reach Jonah to the very depths of his life. And I want to tell you something, you listen to me, until man takes his last breath and steps out into eternity, God is always pursuing His people. I want to thank God that He's persistent. You say, I want God to quit. Aren't you glad He doesn't listen to all your prayers? I want God to just leave me alone. Aren't you glad He doesn't answer all your prayers? And I want to tell you something, teenager, you might be smirk and you might be smart, and you might be kind of coy in your way, and thinking, I've gotten through Wednesday night, and I'm just kind of turning the preacher off, and I'm just kind of shutting it down. But I got news for your friend. There's no way in this world you can turn God off. I've watched teenagers 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning just toss and turn. And I'm going to tell you something. You could, man, if only you could put the earplugs in and somehow shut God off. But I'm going to tell you, if you're created by an almighty God, you've got a conscience that God is still dealing with tonight. So here is Jonah. God's not finished. God had prepared a great fish. It was hand-tailored just for Jonah. God knew what he needed. God knew the pressure, the heat, the acid, the smell, the stench. All of it had been designed by an almighty God to break a wicked, backslidden, rebellious heart. You'll notice it worked. Chapter 2, verse 1. First three words. I want every teenager to read them. What does it say? Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. I've seen a lot of young people, they'll come through church, they won't pray then. They'll come through camp, they won't pray then. But I've often got a call out of jail. Preacher, will you come? Would you pray for me? Pastor, my husband's leaving me. I didn't pray in camp, didn't pray in Sunday school, didn't pray in church, but then Jonah prayed. Can I tell you something, young person? Don't wait till chapter 2 before you pray. Oh, if Jonah would just prayed in chapter 1 and all God's people said. But I'm going to tell you something. He'll work with a stubborn, rebellious child. And if it takes a chapter 2, God's willing to go to chapter 2. If you're willing to wait for the whale, God will be patient. He'll create. He'll do what is necessary to work in His child's hearts. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed. God was patient, God was willing to wait, God was willing to work, and God was now preparing Jonah's heart like never before. And I want you to see something. I want you to see in this passage something that is brought about, and before God can do a work in us, and before God can do a work through us, there must be a work of repentance that is wrought in us. And I'm reminded of the verse here where it talks about godly sorrow leadeth us to repentance. Parents, there's a reason why we spank our children. That godly sorrow accomplishes something. We find during God's life as He's working in the life of Jonah that there's going to be some working of God in this fish below the surface in the depths of the ocean where no men could see. God was still working. I want you to notice, first of all, what was brought to Jonah's attention. The first thing that we find that came to him, and I think of the, when I read this, I can't help but think of the prodigal son who had rebelled against his father and went into a foreign country. And when he didn't listen to the father, and when he didn't listen to the famine, he finally came to himself. You'll notice here in this passage that there's a reason of Jonah's sorrow. Notice here, first of all, the location. It'll talk about here in verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Now, I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, the first thing he finally realized was this. Man, I did this to myself. You know, we live in a world that wants to blame everybody for everything. Well, it's not my fault. Well, I was with the wrong crowd. Well, if I had, you know, if my son had not been hanging around the preacher's kid, he wouldn't have gotten in that kind of trouble. Well, I got news for you. It's not always who's affecting your kid, it's who your kid's affecting. Sometimes we want to blame everybody, but true repentance, listen to me, the work of God is when we come to a place in our life and we no longer blame others for our sin, but we take personal responsibility for where we are at. God came to the garden. There was no revival in the garden. There was only the passing of the blame. Well, you know, Lord, watch how Adam said it. That woman that you gave me. It's almost like, if you hadn't given me that woman, I was fine till you brought her into town. You gave me that woman. And God just kind of slides over and says, Eve, well, it's that serpent. There's no revival when we want to blame somebody else for our sin. When we're trying to hide and deceive and dodge and slide around. But I want you to notice here what he says in verse 2. And he cried by reason of mine affliction. Jonah was not there because they threw him overboard. He was not there because of his mama or his daddy. He was not there because of a preacher. He was not there because of a Sunday school teacher. He was there because of his sin. God help us that we would realize that we need to cry and understand that where we're at tonight. Some of you listen to me, you'll never get victory over your sin. You'll never have true repentance until you take personal responsibility for where you're at. Quit blaming your friend, quit blaming your school. You are where you are at because of your actions in life. So he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. I want you to catch this, that not only did Jonah, in his reason of sorrow, turn to personal responsibility, he also turned to the scriptures. You'll find in these verses here, I think it's almost 9 times in verses 2, 3, that we'll find 9 different excerpts from the Psalms. Isn't it amazing that when we're in the midst of trouble, isn't it amazing when we're in our darkest hour and we don't want anything to do with this Bible, that all of a sudden we do want to have something with this Bible? Hey, preacher, when you come to the hospital, bring the Bible. Hey, bring me the Bible. I didn't want it in church. I didn't even take it with me to church. But man, I'm in the belly of the whale and I'm in the bottom of the ocean. And all of a sudden, those scriptures that Jonah had learned as a boy, those scriptures he had learned at camp, those scriptures that he was putting into his mind, now in this darkest hour, how they were a treasure to his heart. And I just think it's unique, listen to me, that the Word of God never, 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 never returns void. By the way, counselor, you're teaching these young people verses this week, and you might say, well, they'll forget it in 3 weeks. They might forget it somewhat in 3 weeks, but I promise you, when they're in the depths of the ocean, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to their remembrance. 9 times that Jonah refers back to the Psalms and quotes that. I just love how God uses His Word. It is His Word that accomplishes His work. And here is Jonah. And there's not a preacher going on, and there's not a song service going on, but we find here in this verse that in his darkest hour, where there is no light, he brings the Word of God back to him, and what an anchor it is to his soul in the midst of his trial. So we find here that it drove him to Scripture. We also find here not only the reason of Jonah's sorrow, but we find the reaping of Jonah's sin. I want you to notice with me in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 that there are several things that Jonah is going to understand. You know, many times we fail to truly repent of our sin, but one of the reasons we fail to repent of our sin is because we fail to see the consequences of our sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also... What's the next word? I think you'd do better than that. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also. Notice what he says in this verse. The Bible says this in verse 3, for thou didst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. I want you to notice here that Jonah reveals three areas. He first of all reveals that he was cast into the deep. He talks about this very, very openly and explicitly in the Scripture. He says in this passage in verse 4, I'm cast, or in verse 3, thou hast cast me into the deep. Does everybody see that? Then he begins to describe it. Now think about this. I want you to catch me when I say this. He talked about being in this well. He talked about going to the depths of the mountain. And then coming back up again. I remember one time I was in West Virginia, and we had a man who was in a car accident, and he had asked for the pastor and the deacons to come pray for him. I was an assistant pastor. So pastor got in the front, another deacon got in the front, small little car. Three of us were getting in the back. Since I was assistant pastor, I got in the middle. Big old coal miner guys, they get in this car, and I'm sitting on the side here. And I remember it was a Sunday afternoon. We were driving up an hour. Anybody ever been on Highway 250 going north to Wheeling? Okay, don't ever get on that road. You have been there. So you can verify when I say that it is a snake's back. I mean, literally. I mean, you're just hair point turns. Pastor was trying to get up there and get back within an hour. He did not believe in air condition. I'm sitting like this between these two guys, and I forgot to take my jacket off. I know you're feeling for me, aren't you? Man, they take off. It went about, and I'm telling you, it's a solid hour drive, and I'm telling you, I can just feel myself getting green and white. And I just didn't want to say anything. I finally said, could y'all please turn on some air? I'll give you all the money I got if you turn on the air. Come on, help me. So he finally turned on a little bit of air, and I could just feel myself just getting green. And all of a sudden we take a turn here and take a turn here and take a turn here and speed up, slow down, go up the mountain, go down the mountain, turn around, go down the mountain, go up the mountain. And at every turn, I'm just getting more knots in my stomach. I'm glad it was only an hour there. I couldn't imagine 3 days of it. Are you with me on this? 3 days. 3 nights. Here's a whale that was sick with a pretty big moving object in its stomach. I don't think Jonah was happy, but I don't think the whale was happy either. Can you imagine this thing going up, going down, going up, going down, going up, going down, sideways? By the way, let's add to that. Why don't we shut off the lights? I don't mind. I can handle it as long as I can see where I'm going and get a witness. But turn out the lights, man. We're in trouble. Can I tell you something? Jonah was in an area that was completely pitch black. To the bottom of the ocean, to the top of the ocean. There was a roller coaster that seemed to never stop, and Jonah was stuck on it. I can only imagine the smell inside that fish. True story, in the 1800s, there was a boat that was sent out. I wish I'd have printed it off, but there was a boat that was sent out. There was a young man, and they had lost this little boat. They harpooned a whale, sperm whale, a couple of days later. It was literally one day later. And when they brought this whale in, they harpooned him, brought this whale in, they noticed that something was turning in his stomach. True story, he had swallowed a man alive. They cut him open. When they cut him open, he was completely white. The acid in his stomach had eaten all of his hair off. He was going into shock. He was unconscious because of the heat inside the belly as that thing was trying to digest him. And we're talking one day. There's no doubt in my mind that this was a special whale, but I want you to understand something. Jonah, when he says, I was in the belly of hell, was describing a very hot, humid, terrible, smelly, stinky, raunchy place. For 3 days and three nights, he's up and down, up and down, up and down. Whoa. Let me. Listen to me when I say this. When Jonah looked at them and said, I'm not going to repent. Hear me! When he said, you throw me overboard, Jonah made his choice, but he did not get to pick his consequences. Jonah, what's going to happen when we throw you overboard? Well, I don't know. I'll probably die. You don't get to choose. I know a man who put a gun in his mouth, pulled the trigger. Literally, all he did was shoot his jaw off. For the rest of his life, he's going to have half a jaw. Hey, you may make your choice. You don't get to pick your consequences. Well, I'll just live apart from God. You make your choice. Let me tell you something. You get on that roller coaster, you do not get to choose when you get off. You do not get to choose where it goes. How many young people have gotten away from God and backslidden from God and they said, I'm going to make my choice. I'm not going to surrender to God. I'm not going to repent. And I'm just going to tell you something, friend. You have no idea where you end up with that destination. The Bible tells us here that Jonah was cast into the depths. Talks about the very soul. He said, it was overwhelming my soul. Listen to me. Sin not only will get you physically, it'll get you emotionally. I was talking to a mom, Brother Matt, I was talking to this mom, and her son's been away from God, and she said, Pastor, I'm telling you, he's away from God, and he's suicidal. We had to take the guns out of his house. I mean, he's so discouraged, and he's so dark, and I said, he needs to get right with God. Don't you understand sin affects you in every situation, in every life, in every emotional gamut? Sin is after you and wants to destroy you. So here he is, and he had picked this choice, and he understands here the reaping of his sin. The whale as it goes up and down and up and down. But I want to say this young person, what really got Jonah was not that he was cast into the deeps of the sea, but that he was cast away from God's presence. Notice with me in verse 4. Then said I am cast out of, next two words, what are they? Say it again, what is it? I understand this for every saved person. I understand that we never lose our relationship, but we can lose our fellowship. But I'm convinced that there's a lot of Christians who doubt their salvation, and the reason they doubt their salvation is just the simple fact they're so far from God. Jonah said this. Jonah said, I know the way of the transgressor is hard, and I know something about my life. Because of my rebellion, because of my lifestyle, because of my sin, because of my pride, because of my arrogance, I know this, that not only did my unwillingness to repent turn me away from those sailors, it turned me away from God. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing you forfeit with your sin, listen to me, The greatest thing you forfeit with your sin is the power, the blessing, and the presence of God in your life. I wish we had some teenagers this week, listen to me, that were so repentive that their goal was not to get rid of the consequences of sin, but to get in fellowship with God. Oh, that there might be some young people that said, you know what? I understand the consequences. I understand the whale. I understand the mountains and the depths and the seaweed wrapped around my head. I understand that. But the greatest thing that I have forfeited in my life is this. I can't walk in the light and in the darkness at the same time. And I'm tired of walking in the darkness. Oh, friend, I want to remind you that God wants you to live in the light. He wants you to walk in the light as He is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I just want to challenge you tonight. Listen to me. I understand the consequences of sin, and we can preach on the consequences of sin, and we can say how bad sin is, and if you run from God, there's going to be scars, and there's going to be stains in your life, and you may never get those scars away, and you may have to live with those, but I want to challenge you, the greatest thing you forfeit is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that beats having fellowship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis. There's nothing like walking with God every day. There's nothing like a clean conscience. There's nothing like a heart that's tender to the things of God. So we find here that Jonah has been cast into the deep, and we see this life of being cast away from the Lord, and we see this reaping of Jonah's sin. But I want you to notice here that not only is there a reaping of Jonah's sin, but there's a remembrance of Jonah's Savior. Notice with me in verse 6 or verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now there's two things that I want you to catch. I want you to catch here that Jonah understands something very, very important. He understands this verse here when he's in the bottom of this well, and when he's in this fish, this dark place, he understands it is his affliction that's got him here. He understands that it is the reaping of his sin, the consequences that are out of his control. But even in this place of hell, even in this place of heat and darkness, Jonah remembers the Lord. He turns to the Lord. He cries unto the Lord. He prays unto the Lord. You'll notice here that he says a couple of things. He says here in verse 9, the last line, salvation is of the what? Now, I want you to really listen to me. I don't want you to catch this last part. Here's Jonah inside this well. He has no cell phone. He has no iPhone. He has no ability to communicate. He has no ability to contact any man or help or Coast Guard. It's not like he can put out a signal and somebody just track him down. He's stuck. Everybody got it? It's not like he's got a pocket knife where he can somehow, you know, just start cutting the side of this fish out. It's not like he can start clawing. I bet he tried. Guarantee I would try if I was in a fish. Try to claw my way out, kick the sides, break a rib. I'm sure he was trying everything. He talks about the bars all around him. I think he tried all that he could, but there was no way out. He remembers the Lord, and I'm thankful that salvation is of the Lord. If Jonah is going to get out of this, it must be the Lord. I want you to listen to me when I say this. You cannot deliver yourself. You cannot save yourself. If you're a sinner tonight, I just want to help you with this. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to go to heaven because you're a good person. You're not going to heaven because of your Christian background. You cannot earn or merit righteousness. If you're saved, it is the work of God. He must deliver you. And I just want to remind you that there's no one else that can deliver except the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, well, I've got this program. Only Jesus Christ can deliver you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And by the way, listen to me. He not only delivers us in salvation, He delivers us from sin. When the leper came to Jesus, he had no ability to cleanse himself. He had no ability to get rid of his leprosy. Except the Lord remove it. Except the Lord deliver him. There was no deliverance. Jonah makes a statement, salvation is of the Lord. There is no other way. Now that works for salvation, but I want you to catch this. That works for every other area of life as well. There's a teenager in this room tonight that has a drinking problem. Can I tell you something? You can't deliver yourself. There's a young lady in this room who's involved in fornication. You can't deliver yourself. The young man in here who's hooked on pornography. You cannot deliver yourself. Young teenager in here who's on weed. Oh, you laugh. You'd be shot. You cannot deliver yourself. Do you remember when Jesus came to the disciples with the towel? How many remember that story? And he told Peter, he said, Peter, I've come to wash your feet. He washed all the disciples' feet. And Peter began to argue with him and said, you're not cleaning me. Jesus paraphrased, if I don't clean your feet, then you have no part of me. Which tells us that that's a ministry that is only reserved for the Lord. And then Peter kind of jumps in all the way and says, well, don't stop with the feet. Wash me all over. Of course, we know the parallel, don't we? You only need to get saved once. But here's the victory. Here's the victory. Only Jesus can cleanse you of your sin. Is that true? Yes or no? So here is Jonah, who finally wants to get it right. And he has to come to a realization that if I'm ever going to have true victory, salvation is of the Lord. Wait. If salvation is of the Lord, and let's drop down to the last verse. Verse 1, I believe, says, then Jonah what? And the last verse says, what's the first couple of words? Then the Lord spake. That's what they needed all along. Say, friend, that's how do you get victory? How do you get deliverance? God has to speak. Boy, when He speaks, it happens. Did you know that nobody else could control that whale but God? Now, say with me, nobody else could control that whale but God. God spake to the whale. God was in control of those circumstances. God delivered Jonah in a miraculous way. Yes or no? And he made the whale sick and he vomited him out. What's the rest of the verse say? Vomit him out on what? You know what happened if God would have just allowed him to vomit him up in the middle of the ocean? He'd have drowned. Or been shark food. Especially with all that vomit floating around. We got some fishermen here. You know what happened. That was bait right there, man. God was perfect in his deliverance. I said he was perfect in his deliverance. Jonah was delivered by God. He was placed on dry ground by God. Only God could do verse 10. Nobody else could do verse 10. Every time somebody's saved, just remember it's the work of God that does it. God must save you, but God's the only one that can deliver you. No, wait. If God can only do verse 10 and nobody else can do verse 10, then we need to understand something. God only does verse 10, and verse 10 is conditional. What's the first word of verse 10?
What does it say?
And the Lord what? 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sin. Turn to 1 John 1:9. Hurry. Turn to 1 John 1:9. We're almost done. We're getting there. Colin, come on up. Colin's going to help me tonight. All right? He's got to stand right there. If we what? He is what? That means he does it every time. And he's what? Just. The justice speaks upon this, that God handles it righteously. You know why he can forgive your sin? Because of the cross. If there was no cross, there would be no 1 John 1:9. But because of the cross, every time he forgives, he is faithful and he is just to what? To what? Oh yeah, the little stuff, right? Is that what it says? Forgive us what? How many? Seriously, how many sins? All of them? Because some of you got some serious ones that nobody knows about. Some of you have been sitting in camp this week, you've been saying, I'm not going forward because I've tried, And I just can't get deliverance. I tried this camp stuff. I tried decisions. 2 weeks later, I was back into the mess. And I'm tired of the cheap deliverance. I want real deliverance. I just don't want some wiggle room in the whale. I want out. I just don't want some breathing room in the whale. I want out! Tired of the alcohol, tired of the friends, tired of no fellowship with God, tired of arguing with my mom and dad and going to my room and feeling guilty, tired of coming back from the date and feeling shame in my life. Went out. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? Should I go higher?
Now listen to me. Colin, you think you can get out? Give us your best effort. That's good. There was a man in the Chicago Fair back in the early 1900s. He had a boa constrictor. Extremely, extremely long. During the Chicago Fair, one of the displays is people would come in and they would watch him as he would completely allow the boa to wrap itself all the way around his body. The snake was so long that once the snake was completely wrapped around him, you couldn't even see the man. Except for his face, where the snake was trained and it would come and it would just perch its head right on his shoulder. At a certain command, the snake would release. He had always thought that he was in control of the snake. People began to ooh and awe as they watched the snake wrap around him. But this time, with the noise of the crowd, they began to clap. And as they began to clap, the snake responded a different way. He gave the command, and people could watch as he gave the command, but this time the snake didn't release. It began to tighten its grip. They saw his face turn red as he began to give the command again, and it tightened even more. And he gave the command again, and it only tightened more. And then they began to hear the bones snap. His face was no longer red. Now it was blue. As a snake had one desire, and that was to take his very life. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. The sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Colin has no way to get out of this unless he cries unto the Lord and understands that salvation is of the Lord. Now, let me help you with something. It was in the belly of this whale that he learned several things. He learned the reason of his sin. He learned the reaping of his sin. He remembered the Lord, but the greatest lesson he would understand was this: repentance. The Bible tells us that without repentance, there is no remission of sin. You see, salvation's a two-sided coin. Romans 5:1 would tell us, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 would say, therefore being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Justification is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, but you need to understand something else. It's also by faith. Acts 20 and verse 21 tells us that they were to preach repentance toward God and a faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Without repentance, there is no remission of sin. You understand that repentance is more than just acknowledging that you have sin? I guarantee you that Jonah wasn't mocking his sin and saying, God, I made a mistake here. I kind of got in a bad situation, God. I got to know that I did wrong. There was no laughing in this situation. There was no, okay, I know I did wrong. Get it off my back. That's not repentance. See, some of you, you've repented, but you've repented just because you've been in trouble. And your repentance is not really a repentance toward God. It's kind of a repentance toward the consequences. Come on, get on my back and just let me do my own thing. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is to see your sin in the light of God's Word. I guarantee you, when Jonah was in the belly of this whale, the Bible says that he saw his sin. He saw the ugliness of his sin. He saw the consequences of his sin. And there was nothing in Jonah's heart that wanted to go back to his sin. If we confess our sin. Are you still there in 1 John 1:9? I want you to get this. I want you to get this. If we confess our sin, God does everything else. Say, Brother Nance, you're kind of making it easy. No, I'm not making it easy. I'm just trying to make a Bible. Remember the prodigal son when he came home to the father? He didn't come home and say, Dad, I made a mistake. He came home and with true repentance, he said, Father, I'm not worthy to be thy son. Make me a hired servant. I'm not worthy of anything. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. And then the father spoke and broke out in rejoicing. Bring the robe! Bring the fatted calf! Bring the shoes and put the ring on his finger. Say, what are you trying to say, Brother Nance? I'm trying to say this, that if we get biblical repentance down, if we understand what it is to confess our sin and to come to God in the light of His Word, if we confess our sin, if we understand that salvation is of the Lord, then the Lord speaks. Been waiting for you to come to me. Been waiting for you to turn to me. Been waiting for you to look to me. Been waiting for you to trust me. All of a sudden, God begins to do a work that no one else in the world can do. He is able to deliver thee. I remember a man coming to me. He came to me and he had been saved 6 weeks. Came to me on a Sunday night and he said, Brother Nance, he said, I want you to know something. His first statement was this, I wish you'd preach longer every night. I said, well, I wish everybody would believe that. He said, I just wanted you to know something nobody else knows. I said, what's that? He said, I want you to know that for 6 weeks since I've been saved, since God's come into my life, I've been clean. He said, I've tried all my life to get delivered. I've tried all my life to get rid of that sin. I've tried all my life to get rid of the guilt. And he said, for 6 months, he says, now I'm a dad. For 6 months, he says, now I'm able. And I just want you to get this young person. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Only God is able to deliver you from your sin. And many adults that could come up here and stand behind the pulpit and they could tell you, oh, the wages of sin is death. Oh, how sin will enshackle you. One by one, layer upon layer, sin will wrap you up like Jonah in the whale. But when you remember the Lord, when you understand the reason of your sin, when you understand the reaping of your sin, when you repent of your sin, then God moves like no one else can. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight.